The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, Chapter Number 2, Text Number 14, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on January 11th, 2008, in Tavuni, Fiji.
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto Number 1, Chapter Number 2, Divinity and Divine Service, Text Number 14. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tasmaddekena manasa Bhagavan sattvatam prati Shrotavya kirtatavyascha Dheya pujascha nityada. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tridandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. Therefore, with one pointed attention, one should constantly hear about, glorify, remember, and worship the personality of Godhead, who is the protector of the devotees. Purport. If realization of the Absolute Truth is the ultimate aim of life, it must be carried out by all means. In any of the above mentioned castes and orders of life, the four processes, namely glorifying, hearing, remembering, and worshipping, are general occupations. Without these principles of life, no one can exist. Activities of the living being involve engagements in these four different principles of life. Especially in modern society, all activities are more or less dependent on hearing and glorifying. Any man from any social status becomes a well-known man in human society within a very short time if he is simply glorified truly or falsely in the daily newspapers. Sometimes political leaders of a particular party are also advertised by newspaper propaganda, and by such a method of glorification, an insignificant man becomes an important man within no time. But such propaganda by false glorification of an unqualified person cannot bring about any good, either for the particular man or for the society. There may be some temporary reactions to such propaganda, but there are no permanent effects. Therefore, such activities are a waste of time. The actual object of glorification is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has created everything manifested before us. We have broadly discussed this fact from the beginning of the Janmadi Asha Shloka of this Bhagavatam. The tendency to glorify others or hear others must be turned into the real object of glorification, the Supreme Being, and that will bring happiness. Vandeham Sri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagra Jatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitam Shcha. So there's an interesting point being made here. We have a natural tendency to want to hear about, glorify, worship somebody. Everybody's doing it, you see. For some people, it's the movie stars. It's like they have the fan magazines, you know. What is your favorite movie star up to these days? What is his latest, what are his latest pastimes, you see? They take some insignificant person and they elevate them into a pop star. And then everyone wants to know, what are they doing today? What did they have for breakfast this morning, you see? And the photographers, they chase them around trying to get pictures of them doing their ordinary activities. And everybody thinks it's very great. So the movie stars, the pop stars, the football players, the soccer stars, you see, everyone does. The politicians, they make some ordinary person a big person, you see. So they can hear about him, they can glorify him, can worship him, put his picture on the wall. Isn't it? It's going on in every society. We're seeing it's a natural tendency to want to hear about, glorify, and worship someone. So, whoever you hear about, glorify, and worship, depending on their mentality, you achieve their qualities. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, Sangat Sanjayate Kama. One develops one's consciousness according to that person with whom you associate. So, if you want to hear, chant, glorify, worship, and remember the Rakshasas, then you become Rakshasa. But if you want to hear about, and glorify, and worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, and his devotees, then you become saintly. So this is intelligence. To study the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam, it reshapes you. You see. You become transformed to the transcendental platform by engaging in this Krishna Katha. So, Bhagavatam, therefore, states, Ekena manasa, with one mind, you see. As translated here, with one pointed attention. What does that mean? See, there's a verse about this in the Bhagavad Gita, you know that shloka. Vavyasayatmaka buddhir ekeha kurunandaha bahushaka ahyanantascha buddhiyovayasayanam, you see. For those who are on this pathway are resolute in purpose. And their aim is one. O beloved child of the Kurus, the intelligence of those who are irresolute is many branch. So if one is fixed on this path of Krishna Bhakti, then they have one pointed attention, because at every step they're saying, is this favorable for my Krishna consciousness? Is this activity, is this thought, are these words I am speaking, are they beneficial for my Krishna consciousness and the Krishna consciousness of others? This is the discriminating factor, you see. If it's favorable for Krishna consciousness, it is accepted. If it is unfavorable, kick it out as fast as possible. Get rid of it, you see. So this is the determination of a devotee. He's very determined not to entertain any thoughts, words, or deeds which are not conducive for his Krishna consciousness. Sometimes it seems impossible because we're in so much maya, you know. We're so overwhelmed by lust, anger, greed, illusion, madness, and envy.
Doesn't it sometimes seem impossible to be really Krishna conscious? We're so carried away by the senses. You know what I mean? I mean, we're really carried away by these senses. So what to do? Do you just give up and say, well, it's hopeless? I might as well just quit. I have no chance of succeeding. So I'll just go back to material life again, you see. So we think like that? No. We should always remember that little sparrow. You know the little sparrow? Yeah. How determined she was, you see. That rascal ocean, it was tormenting the ocean by stealing the eggs. But that sparrow was determined, even though she was so tiny little bird, and the ocean is so huge and powerful. She was determined, I will get back those eggs. Of course, they were all laughing at her, you know. She's trying to dry up the ocean with a little tiny beak, you know. How many drops of water make up the ocean? I mean, it's uncountable. I mean, millions and trillions and quadrillions. It's just a small, insignificant fraction. How many times would she would have had to run down? That would be an interesting mathematical calculation. How many times would it take the little sparrow to run down to the ocean? You teach math also?
Yes.
Yeah. This could be a math problem for your students. You figure out how much capacity of water is held in the beak of a little sparrow. And see how many gallons of water there are in the ocean. See how many times she would have to go down and take the water and bring it back. I mean, it'd be a huge number. And then the fact that the water would be leaking back down into the ocean after a while. After she got a big lake of it, it would be flowing back to the ocean anyway. But even if she could get the water and keep it from flowing back to the ocean, you see, how many runs would it take that poor little bird to dry up the ocean? I mean, it's just, I can't even begin to conceive of how big a number it would be, you know. Humongous number. But yet that little bird was determined, I am going to dry up the ocean. And they were all laughing, oh, that stupid little bird. She can't dry up the ocean. But you know, Garuda, he is the big brother of that little sparrow. He couldn't tolerate to see my little sister is being offended, you see, by everyone. She's being abused. Sparrow abuse. My little sister is being abused. So he came flying in great anger. And he told the ocean, you better return those eggs right now. Dry you up completely. There'll be nothing left of you, ocean, if you don't give those eggs back immediately. And the ocean, in great fear, yes, take them back, you see. So if we can be determined like that little sparrow, you understand? If we can be determined like that little sparrow, I don't care how much Maya I'm in, how much I'm overwhelmed by the material nature, I don't care. I am determined to become a pure devotee of Krishna. You see. People may laugh at me. Oh, you're such a fool. Putting on the dhoti and the tilak and kanti mala. You look so stupid. You know, getting up early and bowing down. What kind of fool are you? Why don't you just watch television and enjoy, you know? Don't they make fun? Don't they laugh? Maybe behind the back. They laugh at us. Those silly Hare Krishna people. They're just fools. Just some cult leader came along and mesmerized them, and now they're brainwashed. Actually, we haven't been brainwashed. We've been given a brain. I'm seeing by preaching here in Tabayuni that the people have no brains here. All they can think is eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. They have no brains. But by preaching strongly this message, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, we are giving brain. Where there is no brain. Practically, there's no brain. If there's brain, it has cow dung, you see. It's then a brain substance. So we are giving brain. We are not brainwashing. We are giving brain to the people by preaching, by kirtan, by prasadam. We are giving the brain. That is our program. We are a brain giving movement. See? So anyway, they laugh at us. They make fun. What are these stupid Hare Krishna people, you know? Of course, here, and it's not in Fiji, you can, in the Western countries, you know, a man wearing a dress, you know. Of course, in Fiji, the men wear dress. The, what do they call that? That Fijian?
Sulu.
Yes, that is a standard dress for a Fijian gentleman. Even with a suit and tie, you'll still wear a skirt, you see. So in Fiji, to wear a dhoti, that's, you fit, you blend in more, you culturally blend in more, you see. But in America, to wear a dhoti up and down the street, or Europe, you know. When I went to Russia, we went through a remote outpost where they, no devotees ever come through there. Very remote corner of Russia. We went there. And even though I had a visa to get into Russia, I was detained at the border for like 2 hours because I had a dhoti on. They couldn't figure out, what is this person? How can we let him into the country? Is a male person wearing a dress? What is this? They couldn't figure out what's going on. These Russian guards, you know. They thought I looked very funny. I thought they looked very funny with their big hats, like balloons, practically, you know. I thought they looked very funny. This big, huge thing comes out like this, you know. I was thinking, what a silly-looking hat. And they're thinking, what a silly-looking thing he's wearing this thing. So anyway, they think we're crazy, you see, to chant Hare Krishna. Spend so much time chanting Japa Mala every day, you see. An hour and a half, 2 hours. Simply sitting on the beads. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. They think, oh, you're wasting your time. You could be sleeping. You could be swimming. You could be playing some sports. You could be, you know, surfing the internet. You know, what are you doing just sitting and chanting on beads? What is the point? Wasting time. That's what they think. But we know better. See, we know better than them. We know that right now we are caught up in an illusion. And because of that, we're suffering. What is the illusion? I'm thinking I'm this body, isn't it? I'm thinking I'm male, you're thinking female, isn't it? Thinking American, you're thinking Latvian or Fijian, you know, Indian. This is illusion. We're foolishly identifying with this blood, bones, and flesh. And because of that, we're suffering. You see? The body, sometimes it can be happy in, you know, enjoying. But the body has to go through a lot of suffering also, you see? And if we identify with the body, then we're going to be subjected to that suffering again and again. As you get older, it gets worse. The body becomes more miserable. More problems come with old age. So if we identify with this material body, then it is sure and certain that we're going to be unhappy in many, many ways. This chanting of a Hare Krishna mantra, this taking up Vaishnava culture, the whole culture of Vaishnava culture, the dress style, the diet of prasadam, the you know, the folk, the style of folk dancing that we do, then, you know, Bengali Gaudiya folk dancing, you see. Putting our arms in the air, and you see, this is our folk dancing, Gaudiya Vaishnava folk dancing. This style, you see, this whole culture revives the dormant enlightened consciousness within. It helps us to remember who we really are before we stupidly identify with this gross matter. It helps us to revive our eternal spiritual identities in quality, one with the Supreme Person. He is eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss, and we are also eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. So you can theorize about it. But when you actually chant, you see, and follow the principles strictly, no illicit sex, no meat eating, no intoxication, and no gambling, then it becomes realized You actually can feel how it is that you're not your body. You will actually feel your eternal identity as a spirit soul, servant of Krishna. And if you continue chanting faithfully your japa mala, you will come to that point where you actually revive your svarup, your identity in the spiritual sky. Do you know you have an identity in the pastimes of Allure? Did you know that? You actually have an identity in the pastimes of God in the spiritual world. Just like now we all have an identity, you know. I'm a member of such and such family, member of such and such temple, you know. Citizen of such and such country, passport holder of this country or that country. We have an identity. But we actually have an original, eternal identity in the spiritual world. We, as a cowherd boy, a cowherd girl, a servant, a friend, lover, parent, in relationship with God. Each and every one of us have our svarup, our eternal identity. So by chanting Hare Krishna, by following the rules and regulations of Bhakti Yoga, which are called the regulated principles of freedom, by following these principles, why do we say regulated principles of freedom? Because this is how you get out of the prison. This is how you can get out of the prison of the repetition of birth and death. By chanting and following these principles, you will not have to take birth again in this material world. You will enter into the spiritual sky and regain your eternal identity in the pastimes of Krishna. Never to take birth again. Never to get sick again. Never to get old again or become deaf or blind again, you see. Never to suffer these things again. So this is a wonderful process. We should just be very strong against all the opposition, all the criticism. We should be very, very strong and push forward like that little sparrow, you see. With one pointed attention, we should be fixed. My life is completely dedicated to becoming a pure devotee of Krishna. I have no other business, nothing else. Anything else I do, it's all done in that, it's all offered in that service. Just like you have to maintain your body, you see. You have to pay your bills, isn't it? So you work some job. But what are you maintaining your body for? For eating, sleeping, mating, and defending? No, so you can chant Hare Krishna. You see. So you can buy some food and offer that food to Krishna. So you can do some arti, and your house is a place of worship. It's like here, this house is a place of worship. The house is centered around this room. This is the center of the energy of this house. Not the bedroom. This is the center of the energy. So if I'm working to create an ashram, to pay the bills on an ashram, making my house into an ashram, then even my work becomes connected with Krishna consciousness. So in this way, we should have one pointed attention. Everything is for Krishna. Everything should be for Krishna. 24 hours a day. 7 days a week. 52 weeks out of the year. Not that we take 2 weeks off for a vacation. Even if I do go somewhere on a vacation. Just like here, my student, Ujjas. He's taking a vacation from his work. So what is he doing in his vacation? Krishna consciousness. This is intelligence. If you take some time off from your work, do you just go for sense gratification? Well, let's go to Disney World, you know. So we can see the Mickey Mouse and the Donald Duck and Goofy, all the Disney characters, all their different exhibits, you see. What's the point of it? Just some cartoon characters made up by some, you know, materialistic person, a concoction. Anybody can concoct anything. Why not use one's vacation time for Krishna consciousness? To go to Vrindavan or Mayapur, or to visit some temples, you see, maybe somewhere in the world. That's the proper utilization of our free time. Not Disney World, you know. Eiffel Tower, you know, I'm going to go climb, I'm going to go up the Eiffel Tower. These things are not so important. It's like in India, that Taj Mahal is considered a very special place. So I've been to India, I forgot how many times, at least maybe 10 or 15 times I've been to India. I've lost count a long time ago. I've been so many times. And every time I go to India, I go to Vrindavan, and that's very close to Taj Mahal. And I even one time went to Agra, which is the same town. I had some preaching program in Agra. We had some Namahat program in a house in Agra. I gave lecture there. We were right in the same town with the Taj Mahal. I've never gone to see Taj Mahal. I have no interest. It's a tomb. It's simply a tomb. Some man's wife. He was some wealthy man was very in love with his wife, so he made a fancy tomb for her. Taj Mahal. Let's see. Who wants to see some materialistic person's tomb for his wife? What does it help my Krishna consciousness? Of course, though, I was thinking, because it's considered magnificent architecture, that I wanted to study the style so we make a use the concepts for making a temple, then it would make sense to go to see Taj Mahal. To study it architecturally, to see how we can use those principles to make the most beautiful temple for Krishna. That could be done. We don't reject anything if we can use it for Krishna. But when it comes to sense gratification, we reject everything. It has no place for us. Because time is too short. We may think we have unlimited time at our disposal, but we don't. Time and tide wait for no man. You see. Just like when they launch the rocket ships into outer space, you see, there's a countdown. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4... 3, 2, 1, blast off. So each one of us had a little counter going off. From the minute we were born, we have a counter going off. You know, 10 million, and then 9,999,999, it just keeps ticking, going down, down. It's already pre-programmed. We don't know how many numbers are in them. But all of us are running on a timer, and when it hits zero, we leave the body. And at every minute, it's ticking away. At every minute, it's ticking away. So therefore, we don't know when zero is coming up. One of my godbrothers, he was giving a lecture, and then he left his body. What if I leave my body right now? Something happened, heart attack. Right now, I left the body, he said. This would be a good way to go, giving a Bhagavatam clip. In the association of the devotees. This would be a great way to leave. You see. So you never know when you're going to leave the body. That's why we should be very careful that everything I'm doing has some purpose and some meaning for my spiritual life. Some way I can connect it with Krishna. That's a very important thing. Find some way to connect everything you do with Krishna. All right, so are there any questions? Yeah.
That attitude that I'm not qualified to do this and that, and which on the one hand is meant to maintain that humility, that humble, humility, but how to avoid getting trapped in, not get depressed by such attitude that I'm not qualified to do this and I'm not qualified to do that. Mm. How to balance properly?
Yes. One should be daring and active. In other words, even though I know that I'm not qualified to, you know, push forward, I'm not qualified to spread this Krishna consciousness. If I'm so lacking in Krishna consciousness myself, then how can I spread it to somebody else, you see? But yet Lord Chaitanya's order, you must spread this Krishna consciousness movement. So just like that illiterate Brahmin, you know the illiterate Brahmin, yes. He was illiterate, but his Guru Maharaj ordered him. So he was giving it his best shot. And he was accepted as the best scholar of the Bhagavad Gita, you see. So yes, we should feel completely incompetent and misfit. But at the same time, we should say, okay, Guru Maharaj, I'm at your mercy. I'm gonna do everything I can to do everything possible to push forward this movement. And just depend on you to cover for me all my inadequacies. So that's the way to do it. One should be very, Papa said, I act like a king because nobody can defeat me. That's not a question of depression. A devotee acts with great enthusiasm and energy. Even in the old age, he works with great enthusiasm and energy to make a spiritual revolution on this planet. Even though he feels he's incompetent to do so, he acts instrumentally on behalf of the previous acharyas. He's willing to do the most daring and inconceivably daring activities, just like our devotees during the Russian era in Eastern Europe, the adventures, the risks they took to smuggle books, Prabhupada's books, across the border, you see, into the Iron Curtain zone. The risk they took, the daring adventures that they underwent, and, you see. So actually, devotees should have the adventurous, the chivalrous spirit of a conquering hero, you see. But always feel that it's only by the mercy of Guru and Krishna. You should never be depressed. You should think, I want to turn this whole world upside down for Krishna. I want to make a revolution on this planet, even though I'm completely incompetent. But I'm putting myself out on a limb because I'm so incompetent, I'm so unqualified, but still I'm doing it in the order of my spiritual master. I'm depending on him to cover for me whatever my inadequacies may be. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And it means that in case, if I can't reach desired results, so I should see it as it means that I'm not completely surrendered myself to my guru. So I should surrender.
Insofar as you surrender to your spiritual master, to that extent you become instrumental for him to act through you. So if you want to see more results from your preaching, then just become more surrendered. Because to the degree that you're instrumental, to that degree he can act through you. That's how it works. If you don't feel much of his potency acting through you, that means you're not very surrendered. So just become more surrendered, and then you'll feel more of his potency acting through you.
So it means that the only depression should come from the fact that I'm not sufficient enough.
Yeah. But so, but then just always be striving to surrender more, and then there'll be no depression. Mm-hmm. Depression has no place. Prabhupada one time chastised a devotee who was morose in Dallas. He said, don't be morose, don't be morose, don't be morose. Depression and moroseness has no place in this Krishna consciousness movement. You may fall flat on your face, you know, a million times. Look at Edison. They're not sure the exact count, but some people say it took him 10,000 times to make the light bulb work. You see? So he felt that every one of those 999,000 failed attempts was taking him one step closer to being successful. So if even a materialistic person, you see, can be enlivened by failing thousands of times, knowing that he's eliminating all the things that don't work so he can finally reach the thing that does work, then how much a devotee can be? Can always be enlivened, even if he's failing again and again and again. thousands of times he may be failing to accomplish what he wants to accomplish for Krishna and Guru. But he knows, well, I'm just eliminating all the ways that I shouldn't be doing it. And this way there's no depression. Edison was not depressed. He was also a very deaf person. He didn't allow that to depress him. He thought, well, this means I don't have to listen to so many nonsense conversations. He took it as a positive thing that he was deaf. I don't have to hear all these nonsense talk. I just keep my mind focused on inventing things, you know. So, in this way, a devotee should never become depressed. Should always see how he's being blessed by Krishna in every way. Everything he sees is a blessing. Therefore, he's never depressed by anything. He becomes more enlivened, more fired up, more enthused, step by step by step by step by step. That is the transcendental platform. Any other question? Yes.
How does good qualities manifest in a devotee?
The good qualities manifest in a devotee because the devotee already has the good qualities. The 26 qualities of the Vaishnava are already present within his heart. Just for example, poet. Every devotee is actually a poet. He may not know it, but he's a poet. If he will simply advance and purify his consciousness, then he will develop poetic qualities, be able to express himself in very poetic ways. It's just an example. All of the qualities are already there within the heart. And by chanting your rounds faithfully, by following the regulated principles, by rising early in the morning, strictly following what Prabhupada has given, you see, then all these wonderful qualities, the 26 qualities of the pure devotee, become manifest gradually, gradually in the heart. All you have to do is chant and follow the principles, and all the good qualities will automatically come. You'll even become a poet and be able to express yourself very poetically. Prabhupada was so poetic, even his hand gestures were poetic. Everything, the way he held his head, everything about him was poetry. Everything. There used to be a song called Poetry in Motion. Some boy wrote about his girlfriend, you know. He considered it just see his girlfriend. She was like a moving poem, you see. So actually the pure devotee is really like that. The bona fide spiritual master, you see. Like Prabhupada, we see that caliber of spiritual master. Everything about him is pure poetry. Every little detail of his pastimes is just the sweetest nectar. It's poetry. So that nature is there in everyone. We just have to clear off all these anarthas, all this dirt, this lust, this anger, this greed, this madness, illusion, and envy that's clouding us. And that natural, all these natural qualities will emerge in due course. Questions more? Yes.
This verse we read today says that we have to hear, chant, remember, and worship. So how we worship?
How do you worship? There are various items of worship. Of course, we offer the arati. That is one type of worship. But the greatest type of worship is to execute the orders of the Lord, whatever the Lord has instructed, by following His instructions. That's real worship, you see. Anybody can ring some bell, ding, 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 ding. Anyone can ring a bell. But who is willing to do whatever the Lord is instructed, you see, fully dedicated to carry out the orders of the Lord? He is like Hanuman and Arjuna, you see. They are doing the greatest puja. Because they are, whatever instruction they were given, they give their life and soul to carrying out that order. And this is actually the duty of a disciple. Whatever instruction his Guru Maharaj has given him, he must always remember those instructions. And he must worship those instructions within his heart. And he must faithfully try to execute them to his best ability, successfully carry them out. That is the real worship, you see. Faithfully executing the order given by the spiritual master. Krishna accepts that worship of his pure devotee to be more important than worshipping him directly. Let's see. Questions more? Yeah?
Are all the demigods devotees? Are the demigods devotees?
Yes. Mixed. They're not pure devotees. They're mixed with material desire. That's why they have some post like them in the material world. They are devotees, but they're also under the influence of the material nature.
Just like the temple presidents.
Huh?
Just like the temple presidents.
Temple president should be a pure devotee. No, temple president must be a pure devotee. He cannot be like a demigod. These demigods can really fall into Maya. You know that Indra was cursed because he was very lusty. He was cursed to have vaginas all over his whole body. He was so lusty. But then they felt sorry for the poor fellow. He was a horrible thing. He had vaginas all over his body. But then they can be eyes instead of vaginas. And then he had eyes all over his whole body. So we don't want our temple presidents to be like that. A temple president has to become pure devotee. Sannyasis, GBCs, gurus, any person who has a responsible position within ISKCON, they should all become pure devotees. Husband, mother, see, whatever position we have, we should be pure devotee. Otherwise, how we can deliver our dependence? If you yourself are a lusty, greedy, angry person, how you can deliver the people in your temple? It's your duty to make sure they're going back to Godhead. So you must become pure devotee. That's so. Questions, Mara? Yes?
Prabhu, जैसे कि कोई devotee है, program है, और हमें वहाँ जाना है, काम के, तो अचानक से कोई परिवार आएगी दूर से, उसके रुके की है घर है, तो हम उसके बताता चली, और वो नहीं जाए मांगे, तो हम क्या करें, हम रहे उसके सेवा करें, कि कैसे?
She's asking, if there's a program, and I have to go to a program, but then I get some visitors, and though even after asking them to come accompany them to the program, they don't go. What should I do? Should I take care of them or should I attend the program?
Attend the program. Some visitors come and they don't want to go to the program. Yes. Such visitors are useless.
Vifala seven.
Vipala Sevin. Vipala Sevin. Yeah. Any other questions?
Depends. The visitor. Who is the visitor? It's a devotee who may be tired. Non-devotee is different thing. But any visitors, you must make arrangement and then go. You never know.
You got to train up your visitors to become Krishna conscious.
As you said, it's unexpected guests. You must take care of them, give them everything, facility, invite them, and then you can go. Otherwise, someone like Durvasa comes and curse, right?
What is it?
Somebody like Durvasa will come and then they will curse.
You have to train up your visitors to become Krishna conscious. The simple thing is when the visitors come, you just talk about Krishna. Everything Krishna conscious, Krishna kata. And then they'll either become devotees or they won't come back anymore. That's it. That's the easy thing. I don't care if they're your relatives. It doesn't matter. Just talk about Krishna. If they're not interested, they won't come back again. You won't be bothered by them anymore. Of course, there's a little leeway, you know, your in-laws. Can be a little, there's some, you can talk a little bit about the family, it's okay, you know.
She's not asking for herself. She does not do those things, but some devotees does that.
Ah.
So what the devotees should be doing, that's what she's saying.
Well, if the devotees really want to be Krishna conscious, they will try to make their visitors Krishna conscious. But if they're not that keen on being Krishna conscious, they think, well, Krishna conscious is nice, but I'd like to enjoy just some mundane association every now and then too. So they'll forget about Krishna consciousness and try to enjoy in a mundane way with their visitors. That could easily happen. Let's forget about Krishna and just enjoy this material world for a while. We got some karmis who come to visit and they just relish the material world. So I think I'll just relish the material world for a while along with them. And this way I'll have some, you know, I have some Krishna consciousness and I have some maya. I have a mixed program. Some people are like them. They will happily accept such visitors because they really don't feel like being fully Krishna conscious themselves. But that's not a very intelligent position, because the time of death, what will you think of? You see, we have to realize that this life is we're tottering on it, like a drop of water on a lotus leaf. At any time can be finished. So we should be very, very careful to always be cultivating Krishna consciousness at every minute. So if such visitors come, we should, in a very nice way, very attractive way, very friendly, compassionate way, find some intelligent way to attract them to Krishna consciousness. That's the smart thing to do. The easiest way is prasadam, you know. You give them nice prasadam. Who can say no? Give nice prasadam.
Isn't it depends on the devotee, whether they want to go to the program or they don't want to go to the program? That's how they decide.
Yeah, if somebody really doesn't, their desire to go to the program is not that strong, then they'll use this as an excuse. I didn't really want to go that much anyway, and now here's my excuse. My visitors came and they didn't want to come. It just shows that those devotees are not really that strong in their desire to be devotees, really. They're not that strong in their desire to be devotees. A devotee wants to make everyone a devotee. That is a devotee. If he's not feeling that way, then he is not very advanced in Krishna consciousness. Anyone who is actually a devotee, he wants to see that everybody on this planet shall become devotees. So he's doing everything he can to help everyone to become devotees. Wherever, it could be a friend, it could be a relative, it could be a stranger, it doesn't matter. He sees everyone equally. I want to make everyone a devotee. Anything else? Is everyone satisfied now? All questions are answered for the moment? Yes?
In connection with previous question, every second Sunday, Vita and I, we are visiting my father,
mm-hmm.
who lives alone. He is almost 70. He will get 70 this year.
Mm-hmm.
And actually he invented a drug against flu, and many companies around the world, in the States, in Japan, in Russia, in Latvia, earn millions producing that drug. Well, he lives alone. he doesn't want to see other people, his friends, his former friends and then the co-workers. So, and when we visit him, we bring some prasadam from the temple,
That's nice.
We provide food. It's the main idea that we bring.
You cater the event.
Yeah, because his pension is very small. Small. But we have to maintain some conversation. But he wants to talk about politics, about something that he had heard on the radio, and actually, I don't want to talk about these things. And it's a confused situation. Vita is one. She tries to maintain that conversation, and I just sit silent, and it seems that I'm a it's a very confusing situation because I don't know what to do.
You have to become expert enough that you can turn you can transcendentalize any topic. That's what you have to develop that art. You can take any topic and you can transcendentalize it. Like bring some topic, for example, some mundane topic you heard on the radio.
Well, what do you think about our new prime minister?
A new prime minister?
Yes.
Yes. Actually, we do need a new prime minister. The prime minister of every country right now needs a new prime minister. Right now, the prime ministers are motivated by selfish desires, you see. We need prime minister who is enlightened, you see. In the former times, the leaders, they were enlightened. They were called, in ancient Indian civilization, and they were called Rajarshi, Raja Rishi, Rajarshi. Raja means king, and Rishi means great saintly person. So yes, we do need new prime ministers. We need a prime minister who is saintly in character, so they don't use the position for their own personal sense gratification. One who really wants to serve by helping all the citizens to be truly happy by reviving their original understanding of who they are. You see, we need a new prime minister. My dear father, I agree with you. We must get a new prime minister. And this is what we need to look for in the new prime minister. Yeah, so what other... I'll bring another mundane topic.
But, last week... Well, he regularly experienced... The one reason he doesn't want to go anywhere is because his body aches and in different places. Actually, he doesn't talk about that, but pain sometimes is so strong that he mentions it and starts conversation about his
pain. So you can say, isn't pain a horrible thing? Oh, it's a horrible thing to be in pain. It's the most it's really unnatural for the living being to be in a state of pain. It's only due to false identification with this material body, they were actually suffering pain. So, my dear father, there's a state of consciousness beyond pain. I'd like to enlighten you in that state of consciousness, how you can become pain-free, even though your body is in a painful state. If you can become Krishna conscious, you will no longer experience the pain as that you are suffering this pain. So I would like to train you in this wonderful science known as Krishna consciousness, so that you can become 100% pain-free. Would you like me to teach you? What other mundane thing might he say?
The problem would be, now he is seeing as a spiritual master, so he can hear. But in front of Father, he may be thinking, he is senior to me, I cannot speak to him.
No. He's willing to speak to his father. He's not shy to speak to his father. I know he's a bold person.
I just don't know the proper way.
Here's the way to do it. Lord Chaitanya taught this. He was dealing with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who was considered his superior. He was senior by age. He was quite senior by age. And he was a sannyasi also, and he also had a political position. He was the court pundit. He was the big pundit for the state of Arista, the country. It was a whole country at that time. He was the leading scholar in the whole country. And he wanted to enlighten Lord Chaitanya in Mayavada philosophy. So Lord Chaitanya, he just patiently heard from him for many, many days. until finally Prakashananda. No, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, that's right. Finally, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he said, "Why, you're not asking any questions. Why is that?" And then Lord Chaitanya took the opportunity to tell him that, you know, this Vedanta Sutra is very wonderful, but your commentary is like is the covering clouds that are but are hiding the real meaning of the Vedanta Sutra. So the key is, you agree to hear him very nicely, with all sympathetic hearing. Yes, 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 oh yes, yes. Very eagerly showing you, very eager to hear what he has to say. Oh, yes, 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 very nice, yes, 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 yes. And finally, they'll reach a point where he'd like to hear what you have to say. It's a natural psychology. Even the biggest egotist who wants to just flap his jaws, you know, eternally. If you keep hearing very nicely, finally he'll say, oh, what do you have to say? So that's what I suggest. It's a tactic. You be willing to hear what he has to say. And then they'll reach a point where he wants to hear what you have to say. And that's the tactic used by Lord Chaitanya with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. It was a very effective tactic. You hear very nicely from him. Now you've patiently heard him, and now he has to reciprocate at a certain point, and he has to hear from you. So now you can tell him, yes, my dear father.
How long one should be hearing? If they go for like
a few days, no more than if Lord Chaitanya heard for several days, actually.
Yeah,
I mean, I wouldn't go on for 10 years, you know.
Now, what I'm saying, if they go only for a weekend, it's 2 days, how long they should be hearing patiently, and then every weekend they go, there is no opportunity.
If you're not able to get a few words in on every visit, I wouldn't do it. I'm saying, Yamanaji is bringing the practical thing down the point. You obviously have to do it in such a way that after, you know, within each visit, you're going to be able to give them some good points. Otherwise, it's not worth it. This strategy should only be used, otherwise you'll be polluted. This strategy should only be used if every visit you can get some good points in. Really solid. You know, you hear him and then you take control and he really gets a good dosage of Krishna conscious philosophy.
And then there is a situation even worse, because he understands, he is not a person who would like to talk to me very much, but he understands that I don't want to talk about things he wants to. So he doesn't speak, I don't speak, because I don't know what to speak about. Let's say we visit.
Why don't you surprise him by showing an interest in what he talks about?
The problem is that we are so neophyte that we get into it.
Well, you have to be you have to be free of material desires yourself if you're going to be able to pull this off. You have to really be staunch in your desire for Krishna Katha, pure Krishna Katha. And if you are, then Krishna will empower you. But if you actually want to have a tendency to want to get into it about Uncle Sally or whatever they call him in Latvia, Aunt Susie and, you know, Cousin Freddie's, dog, you know, and so-and-so's motorcycle, and, you know, if you're really attracted to those topics, then it's pretty risky. But if you're really staunch in your desire to revolutionize his consciousness, you see, you're staunch in your desire to revolutionize your own heart and to revolutionize his heart, then Krishna will empower you, Guru will empower you to speak in such a way that he'll be amazed. He'll be absolutely amazed at what you just said. And it'll turn his life around. Yeah.
Just there, the same question. What is best way for him to help his father?
Well, you should load him down with prasadam. That's the easiest thing, you know. Just give him whatever he likes, whatever does he like, sweets, what does he like the best, you know. What's his favorite type of prasadam? Just really wine him and dine him with prasadam, you know. Really go all out. But he's just, he can't believe how much love you're giving him in the prasadam. What does he like to eat the most besides meat? You know, cake? What does he really like the most?
Nothing. He is well, as I mentioned, he's used to very simple lifestyle.
Mm. All right. Then whatever makes him happy, give him that.
He likes sweets, yeah.
I had another suggestion, Maharaj, if I could.
Huh?
I could also, if I can give my suggestion to.
Yes, yes.
I was thinking for him to become a good devotee, so his father will be liberated.
Yeah, but he's already supposed to be doing that. He's already supposed to be doing that. He's getting ready for initiation now. He's already... But that doesn't mean that you shouldn't try to preach to them. Because when they're being automatically liberated could be sooner or later depending on whether you preach to them or not. You see what I'm saying? It's not that necessarily that they become instantly liberated. It depends on how Krishna conscious they were. Sooner or later they will be. But it's not that we should neglect someone thinking. Just like someone, there's one lady who was on my e-course and she was thinking, well, some devotee told her, you don't need to get initiated because your brother's initiated. You see? So you're automatically going to be liberated because your brother's initiated. Simran Singh, you see. Yeah. She was advised by a devotee, you don't need to be initiated because your brother's initiated. See, is that very good preaching? No. Sooner or later she will be initiated. I mean, she will be liberated because her brother is a Prabhupada disciple. And if he's properly situated and goes back to Godhead, sooner or later she will definitely be liberated, but that could be later. How much later, we don't know. But if she becomes initiated now herself and also follows the principles, then her liberation will also be guaranteed in this lifetime. Why take a chance that my brother is liberated, so 100 lifetimes from now I'm for sure to go back to Godhead. You see?
That sort of mentality is very much prominent many times. They think that the son has become the devotee, so the parents will be liberated, we don't need to preach.
Or because the parents are liberated, yeah. Or because the husband's a devotee.
Yeah.
No, these things, no, everyone has to fly their own plane at the time of death.
I was thinking when it's risk to go and associate with them, then, I mean, in the cases where it's very risky to associate with such parents who are non-devotees.
Well, if someone is blasphemous, and your association is absolutely poison, then you could think about like this. But anybody who's favorable, who's a little bit receptive, you should definitely cultivate them, even if they're a family member.
Yeah. But we have noticed that it is usually hard to preach the family members.
Depends on how strong you are. If you're really strong, you can use their family attachment to force them to surrender.
Yeah, well, I mean,
Vishnupriya Mataji did that.
Even Prabhupada was so strong, but
Krishna's arrangement that Prabhupada was given a family that wasn't very favorable for Krishna consciousness. So he would take sannyas to save us, you see. That was the arrangement of Krishna. That he got a wife who was so unfavorable. You know, tea or me, Prabhupada told her. Do you want tea or do you want me? She said, well, I'll have to take tea. Not to give up my husband. She was thought it was a joke. And then when he took sannyas, she got a shock of her life, you know.
The thing is also that we repeatedly tell the family members, I'll do this, and when we don't do that, they take it cheaply. So once you say something that, okay, I'm going to do it, then you show them you're going to really do it, then they will consider twice. Finally, Prabhupada said to her that tea or me, then she said tea. She was taking as a joke, but then Prabhupada showed her. She lost it that time. But previously, it was like back and forth, okay. Maybe she'll change sometime.
Good point. I know in your case, you were very strong.
I was strong, and I just said it. I'm not
her brother in Australia, he was keeping me in the house. And they were inviting, she was visiting Australia, she was going to stay in the temple. They said, no, you come to our house. She said, I can't go to any house where there's meat. She was very strong. I'm staying in the temple. And they said, okay, we'll get rid of the meat. And they actually became initiated devotees. There is initiated devotees now. The whole family, mother, father, son and daughter, all four of them initiated because Vishnupriya Mataji was strong. They were all meat eaters. She saved them. He said, I will not stay in your house.
Even because there's... when I first returned to my home, I told my father, this is what I'm practicing. If you like, I'll stay and practice at home, but I cannot do all these things what you all are doing. And if you don't like it, I'm going to go into the temple or somewhere else and stay and practice. And my father said, okay, you can do everything separately and do it. And I was doing those things.
They gave you your own kitchen, didn't they?
They gave me my own place to do my puja.
Your own room, everything, your own little ashram. Yeah, at home.
Then I just used to give them, you know, little prasadam. I'll cook little for Krishna, you know, and then I'll offer it, and they will cook their own. And then everybody, I'll give little prasadam. Then one day my father says, you know, this tastes better. Why don't we cook all together and finish all over?
So the whole family became prasadam eaters because of Vishnupriya's staunch determination. And now the brother, now Vrajanasi, obviously he's initiated now because of Vishnupriya's staunch determination to be at Krishna conscious.
They were angry in the beginning, but afterwards that everybody has to accept it, what they can do.
It was a good example. We can also see the other way. See, Vrajanath is not very strong, so the Rodas are not in.
No, they are not preaching.
They are not strong.
They are not preaching. They were thinking, if their devotee becomes, their daughters become devotees, who will marry them? That's what they were afraid of. And they never felt like that they should preach to them.
So if they were just like you, then the daughters could have.
Exactly.
He's giving them all the material facilities.
Yes, everything. The mother is giving everything. Mother doesn't have any feeling like.
So that. Any other?
She's very good in cooking and doing things, but they are not.
So is that everything is said now? Everybody's happy, ready to
be. Another thing, for my own interest, whether we just chant in front of his father, sometimes he chant, you know. You don't chant at all when you go there. You don't take a bit.
No.
So if you chant, he might ask you, what are you doing?
Yeah, no, he understands that. He is knowledgeable. He reads a lot and he is scientist. Yeah. So his excuse, he said, well, I'm too old. I understand, but by my mind, I understand these that I should rise early, I should take a bath and a shower, and so I can't do that because my body aches, and he is obsessed with his illnesses and with his bodily. So he is his body. With his example, I see what this bodily conception leads to. And I don't, by seeing, I don't want to be like he. And this is one reason why I joined Krishna consciousness. Because you was one of the most famous scientists in his field, in the world. And now you are a miserable man. Nobody cares about. You live alone. Your previous good deeds are forgotten. So, and he can't understand. He can't. And system changed from Soviet system to this capitalism. He feels useless. He feels helpless. He can't understand this political system. He can't understand what's happened with prices. So well, and all this previous.
He was a big success, and now he's a complete failure. Total failure.
Yeah.
That makes him more miserable.
Yeah.
Whereas if it's spiritual, the older we become, the more successful we become.
Yeah, in the capitalist system, he would have been a millionaire.
Yeah, he would be.
But he was under the communist system. He just
because then state owned owned all these licenses, or when you invented something, the state paid you a small money and owned that idea. And a state sell to Japan, to the to
the state makes the money.
Yeah, state makes the money. Yeah, that, so
that's the way Latvia is.
And he can't get and
he really got ripped off.
Yeah, and there is and his former friends now own big factories these that produce these drugs, and they are millionaires.
That he invented.
He invented, and they are millionaires. He is nothing. So, and therefore he doesn't want to see he has realized that this world is not fair. So, but he humbly accepts it. He never talks about it. He doesn't feel that somebody
he seems like a good candidate for preaching, you know.
Yeah, he is, but I can't find that key to his.
You keep working on it. You'll be able to make him a devotee.
Maybe next visit when we come.
Does he live in Latvia? In Riga, I mean? Riga?
Yeah,
so maybe I should go and come visit him.
If Guruma has been visit, you can take him there.
Yeah, we can think about it. Maybe not. But
we can try.
At least I can, just to go and make friends with him. Even if I don't preach to him at all, but it would open up and give you something else to talk about.
His excuse is, what they can, okay, I understand that, I accept that, but what they can help me if my body aches? Yeah, so this is
it's very simple. You simply have to realize your identity beyond your body. You have to awaken your spiritual sense of identity, that's all. And you'll see it's just something happening out there in the external energy. It's not you. You understand? You see, if I, just like the other day, I ripped my chatter. I ripped my curtain. I have a nice silk curtain. I ripped it on the door and ruined it. So, but it's not me. I mean, I can get another one. You know? If my body had been injured, it would be another thing. Serious injury, I'd have to throw my... You know, it's like the death for that kurta, practically speaking. But if I had been killed, it would have been much heavier. But a kurta, if a kurta gets badly ripped and irreparable, no big deal. I get another one, and, you know. So for a devotee, the body is just like some garment, you know. Once if he gets old and useless, you just get another one, no big deal. He's not that affected by the pains and pleasures of the body.
It's not his body, his pride is down.
So you have to give him a new sense of pride, that's all.
Yes.
We're not, we have a sense of pride in Krishna consciousness. We're proud of our spiritual identity. We're not ashamed of our existence. We're proud of who we are. Jivara, so we say it loudly, Jivara Sarupahai Krishnara Nitya Das. We're proud of them. We boldly proclaim it to the whole world by wearing tilak, dhotis, neck beads, sikha, wherever we go. We want to proclaim it loudly. Yes, I am a devotee of Krishna. You see, we're proud of our identity. We're not ashamed. Oh, I'm a devotee of Krishna. I got to hide.
That's his problem. He's ashamed. That's why he doesn't want to see anybody.
I remember one time the Pujari in Dallas, every time he would go out, he would walk one block to the store, he'd make sure to put a hat on so nobody would see his sikha, you know. Just walking one block to the grocery store. Didn't make any sense to me. Why are you hiding your sikha just to go to the grocery store? Why not, you know, boldly proclaim, yes, I'm wearing sikha. I mean, if God himself became a Hare Krishna. It must be really a cool thing, you know, to be a Hare Krishna. You know, God became a Hare Krishna, you know that? He joined the Bhakta program. You know, Bhakta Avatar. Yeah. God himself became a Hare Krishna, shaved up Hare Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, you see. So if God himself does this, there is nothing more cool than what God does, you see. He's the supreme enjoyer. There's nobody more hip or more cool than God himself, you see. Whatever he does is the coolest, hippest thing. You see? So if God himself became Hare Krishna, then it must be really cool, you know. It must be a really hip thing to do. Wow, nothing more cool, more hip. You want to join the in crowd, you know. You really want to be in. You really want to be cool, super hip. You become a Hare Krishna. It's the coolest thing going. You want to be cutting edge, you know. On the cutting edge. Then become Hare Krishna. That's the cutting edge. Why be old-fashioned fuddy-duddy, you know? Why not be really cool and really hip? Become a Hare Krishna devotee. So anyway, our time has run out. A little bit over time today. A little bit, a few minutes. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Jai Srimad Sankarsan Dasadikari Ki Jai.